Happy Pentecost!
Hey!
This is the day where you have the freedom to be drunk in the Spirit. Kick off your shoes. We don't have chandeliers, but find something to hang them on. Yes! On the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk, didn't they?
Yes.
The joy of the Lord. So, so, so good. My message today is Pentecost and its history.
Yes.
Very often when we talk about Pentecost, we look at the day of Pentecost and then what's happened since then. Today, I'm going to dig into the roots.
Come on.
Because Pentecost was not an arbitrary day.
Yeah.
It was on a special day. It was God ordained.
Yes.
You see, God has a timetable. And God had a timetable, and it was fulfilled on the day on Pentecost. God has a timetable for you, for your life. God has a timetable for us as Life Center. Sometimes we have to wait. The waiting is hard. But God has a timetable, and He always comes through. Anytime that I feel discouraged, do you know what I've discovered? I'm thinking too much about myself. I'm looking inwards. And I have to switch and make a conscious decision to remember, He has called me. He picked me.
Yes.
He picked me. He knows what He's doing. So sometimes we just need to shake off too much inward looking. Of course, if Holy Spirit convicts us, we need to deal with that. But we are not meant to be looking at ourselves. We are meant to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
We just came back yesterday from the AOG conference in Aberdeen. We were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Whoa, that was fantastic. What a blessed time. As we were driving back, I was thinking about, Melvin and I have got quite a lot of friends that are leaders of home groups or churches. And you know, when we get together, sometimes you hear, I wish they would do this better. And I just thought, we are so blessed.
Amen.
We are so blessed. We are part of AOG, and every time we go, we come back so encouraged. We have leaders that say, we are here to serve.
Yes.
We are here to bless you.
Yes.
We are here to serve.
Yes.
And so we are really a blessed church because we are part of ALG.
Mm-hmm.
We are really blessed that we are part of a network of people that have the same vision. Some of the comments that the people that came from out with United Kingdom and those that came from England and Wales, they said first there was a conference in England and then the same conference in Wales and then this week in Scotland. The same leaders traveling, doing the three countries, and what they said was a marked unity in Aberdeen. A marked unity that set us apart from the other countries. I believe that is because when you put the map of Scotland up and you saw all the churches, there was a lot of empty spaces. And we all feel, wow, there's a big field ahead of us. And so it brings humility, doesn't it? Because there's a lot to be done. But there was such a marked unity. Now, there was many stories shared. One of the stories, because it's Pentecost, our leader told us how he was at this event and the Archbishop of the Church of England was there and he got introduced. And then the Archbishop turned and said, oh yes, I hear that you're having a 100-year anniversary. You're 100 years old. And he turned to him and he said, well, actually, that's not really correct. You'll find that we go all the way back to Acts chapter 2.
Come on. Yes.
Yes. We go all the way back to Acts chapter 2. And as you look at Acts chapter 2, I'm going to remind you and show you how that goes all the way back to the Torah, all the way back to the Old Testament. Because God is the same.
Yes.
God is the same. But as we look at the Word of God and remind ourselves today, I want you to join with me to rejoice that God picked you and me to live in this dispensation and not in the Old Testament. Because there's a huge difference.
Amen.
There's a huge difference. I'm so grateful that I got to live now and not back then. It's the grace of God. Pentecost is all about empowerment. We don't need to read the scriptures and from Acts 2 because the kids have done it for us, right? They've done it for us really well. And Jesus said in Luke 24:49, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Now the disciples, they did 3.5 years Bible school living with Jesus. Think about that. 3.5 years every day with Jesus, and yet Jesus said they were not ready. Yet Jesus said that was not sufficient. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't just any day. It was a special day on God's calendar. In the Jewish calendar, it's called Shavuot. It's the Hebrew word for weeks. We use the word Pentecost. I believe some people call it Whitsun in England. But Pentecost is from the Greek word, meaning 50th, because it's exactly 50 days after the resurrection. 50 days. 7 weeks, 7 full weeks, 49 days, and then on the next day. So Pentecost marks the very day that the law was given to Israel. The law was given. Shavuot commemorates the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. This is after the Exodus out of Egypt. Remember, God appointed Moses, the people escaped, and there they were out on Mount Sinai, and they were given the law. God gave his law. He gave instructions to each individual how to live, and instructions for them as a nation how to live. You could say this was their constitution. Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
You could say that was the day that was the birthday of Israel. And so it's the day Israel was born, and then on the day of Pentecost was the day the church was born. It was not any day. It was God's calendar day. The biblical agricultural calendar in scripture is very prophetic, with deep meanings. And sometimes we overlook it, you know, we need to dig. We have to kind of dig into it to understand it. There were two distinct grain offerings. The first one is the fruit of barley, because barley would be harvested first, and then later it would be the wheat harvest. So the barley harvest is just after Passover, and that represents Jesus as the first fruit of those fallen asleep. We can read 1 Corinthians 15:20, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. The King James says he's become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep means have died. Jesus always called dying fallen asleep. So it is the first fruit. So the fruit of the barley just after the Passover, the resurrection of Jesus, is the first fruit. Shavuot was the annual feast of the Lord, and that is the first fruit of the wheat. That's the second one. And there would be a pilgrimage festival. So they would all gather together, you know, they would all travel to this festival as commanded by the Lord to come and to give the offering. And the offering in the Old Testament, it was all done with the men, but the whole family would travel, but it would be the men. Ladies, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. We all included, ladies. We all in. And the children, yes, all. So, what we have on the day of Pentecost is the first fruit of the wheat. And this is symbolic of the harvest, the church. And what they would have is they would have these breads baked with leaven. Now, in all the other ceremonies, it is always unleavened bread, meaning bread, but there's no yeast in it. Because yeast in the Bible represents sin. But in this offering, it was with leaven, meaning sin is involved. There is sin. Because it's a picture that we, the church, we have been accepted even although we are sinful. We have been accepted now because of what Jesus has paid for us. My friend, Jesus has paid the price for your sin. My friend, Jesus has paid the price for your sin. And he was without sin. So when his blood was shed, although he was innocent, there is now a way for you to be redeemed and to get reconnected with your Creator. If you open your heart and if you say yes to Jesus, you can experience the joy of walking with God. At conference, we had a theme song, I Say Yes, over and over again, I say yes to following Jesus. Amen. It's a choice we make. And you can make that choice right now where you're sitting. You can make that choice to say yes to Jesus and receive forgiveness of sin. Because no matter how much you beat yourself up, no matter how hard I try, I cannot undo my sin. I cannot remove it. I can't change history. I can't take it out of my nature, except Jesus can. So we encourage you to say yes to Jesus today. So Pentecost, Shavuot, is exactly 50 days after the feast of the first fruit, which was the resurrection of Jesus. It's a divine fulfillment. God is communicating something to us through this calendar. And it's deeper than we think. Pentecost fell on the anniversary of the coming of God on Sinai. In the Old Testament, they received the law. In the New Testament, we have received the Spirit of grace and forgiveness. They received the law, we have received the grace, Spirit of grace in fullness. But if you think about what happened in Sinai, the scripture tells us that the people fled, and Moses said, I am trembling with fear. When the law of God came, even Moses himself trembled in fear. It is a fearful thing standing before God with the law of God, and we are sinful. It is a fearful thing because God is so holy. So even Moses trembled.
Yes.
And so the people said, so Moses said, Moses, you go and speak to God. It's too much for us. They kind of withdrew themselves because it's fearful. In the New Testament, come on, in the New Testament, the same God on the day of Pentecost. But because of the cross, it says, Peter stood up and spoke with Holy Spirit boldness. Holy Spirit boldness now comes on us. They trembled when God came down. Now, when Holy Spirit came down, we can speak with boldness. We can stand boldly before the throne of grace. What a difference. That's what I'm saying. I'm so glad that God put me into the church age. I am so glad that I'm in the age of the Spirit of grace and forgiveness. What a blessing that is. Such a difference. The same God, but a completely different outcome. Now Israel, as you know, completely failed the instructions of God. At a conference, somebody said, the children of Israel saw more miracles than anyone else. And if miracles was going to produce holy people, powerful people, they should be holy and powerful. But they were not. So miracles doesn't produce. They saw more miracles than any of us have ever seen in all of our lives. But that didn't produce. They actually failed the instructions. Remember, they were instructed to wait, and Moses went up on the mountain, and they waited and they waited and waited. And they're saying to Aaron, who was that guy Moses again? Where is he? Ah, doesn't look like he's coming, does it? They got fed up waiting. Impatient. They got fed up waiting. And they put Aaron under pressure. They were fed up waiting. He just wasn't able to manage them. And so he took it and collected all the gold. Come on, give me all your gold. And he melted the gold and he made a calf. And they started to worship an idol made out of their own hands. After seeing these most incredible miracles, they still failed to follow simple instructions. They were told, wait, but they didn't. And they disobeyed the law. They started to worship an idol. And when Moses came down, of course, God told him, you better go down. Those rebellious people, they've disobeyed. And when Moses comes down, he is so frustrated that he just throws the tables, the tablets, and breaks it all up. God had written it with his own finger, and he's so frustrated that he just breaks all the tablets. When I was reading that story again, I was thinking about Aaron. You know, Aaron was supposed to be Moses' right-hand man. But Aaron's saying, well, it was, you know what these people are like. It's, you know, I just collected the gold and melted the diamond. And lo and behold, a calf came out from it. How ridiculous. It just miraculously came out as a calf, you know. It just sort of happened. We always want to cover up our sin. They completely failed. And as a consequence, Exodus 32:28, the Levites obeyed Moses' command, and about 3,000 people died that day. 3,000 people died from disobedience. They had gone directly against the instructions that God had given. They did exactly the opposite of what they were told. But, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit fell. What do we read in Acts 2:41? And those who believed what Jesus said were baptized and added to the church that day, 3,000 in all. So in the Old Testament, you've got 3,000 killed. In the New Testament, you've got 3,000 saved on that very day. See the difference Holy Spirit makes?
Yeah.
We could not do it. We failed the instructions. We sinned against God over and over. But he gave us his Spirit. Because of Holy Spirit in us, we now have the power. We are being empowered. 3,000 people saved. We are empowered for the harvest. We, like Central Livingston, are empowered for harvest because Holy Spirit has come. They celebrated the first fruit. And maybe you are new and you're thinking, what is first fruit? What is first fruit? So when they had a harvest, then God instructed them to take the very first harvest. Like, if there's any of you that grow tomatoes in your greenhouse, typically you maybe have, like, you're keeping an eye on it, and then you have, like, the first tomato that comes and becomes red. That is your first fruit. That's the first one. So God, to the Israelites, said, I want you to take the first fruit, the first bit that becomes ripe, and offer it to me. And that was a way of God blessing all the rest of the harvest. Mm-hmm. So you've got the first fruit, and then you've got the main harvest. That's when you go out and now nearly all of your tomatoes are red. And you get a whole basket full, right? You're giving it out to your neighbors and friends. Now you've got too many, or you're making tomato soup. And then the gleaning in the very end, the last one. But the first fruit is the first one that becomes ripe. And God said that was what they were to offer to God. And that's what they did on the barley harvest. And they did it again on wheat. But we, as God's people, you are first fruit today. Because you're sitting here. I'm here. We are here. We are here on the first day of the week, giving our time to God to worship Him. Yes, from the New Testament, they met on the first day of the week because it's our first fruit. We are giving the beginning of our week to worship and honor God, and then He blesses the rest of our week. He sanctifies the rest of our week. Isn't He good? Isn't He good? And so we give the first. It's like when you give your tithes. It's your 10% is your first. We just heard of a young man, his first wage package. He gives us out of his first wage package. We trust he will give 10% to God, and then the rest of his funds will be all blessed. It's how God works. It's a principle. Even people that are not believers, if they take that first 10%, God will just bless them. It's a biblical principle. God works it. God works it. So that is what first fruit means. So the Pentecost is also called the Day of First Fruits. Numbers 28:26. At the Festival of Harvest, when you present the first of your new grain to the Lord, you must call an official day for holy assembly. And they were not to work on that day, etc. So you can see it there, it's in the scriptures. It was a unique offering. And at Pentecost, at Shavuot, they were to offer 2 leavened loaves. 2 loaves, and they had the yeast in it. So they've got 2 loaves they would hold before the Lord. And that's, again, symbolic. And it's because there's two. There's the Gentiles, us, and then there's the Jews saved. So they have 2 leaves. Now, on the day of Pentecost, it was 120 that were waiting. For 10 days. That's a long prayer meeting, isn't it? That's a long prayer meeting. But they waited. 10 is the number for testing. They were being tested. It's long if you go for a one-day prayer meeting. Well, for the intercessors, they are just getting started. It's nothing. But for most people, you know, like a full day, but 10 days, that's a lot. But wow, what a reward. What a reward. And when they were there, Holy Spirit fell. They waited faithfully. And aren't you blessed on the day of Pentecost that it was everyone? Everyone spoke in tongues. Everyone caught the fire. Everyone was speaking in a new language. It doesn't say, oh, but so-and-so didn't make it. No, no, everyone. How inclusive is Holy Spirit with His people? How inclusive is God with us? Because Because it was his promise. It's a covenant. He had promised. The Lord had said, the promise. Holy Spirit is called the gift. It's called a promise. You don't work for your gifts. You don't work for your gifts. Holy Spirit is a gift. So everyone is included. Everyone is included. Of course, those that didn't come, they were not included, but everyone that was there was included. How gracious is our God? Because it was the harvest feast, there were thousands of Jews gathered together. And so God had picked that day because they were all empowered and they would all go. Because the mission is to preach the gospel unto the ends of the earth. That mission still stands today, has not changed. That's a mission, preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Praise God. Let's have a little look at the signs. Fire. Fire. Exodus 19 verse 18. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. A God is a consuming fire, isn't he? The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Well done. Well done. When you're in a Pentecostal meeting, anything can happen. So in the Old Testament, God came as a fire and they were all fearful and the place shook. In the New Testament, the fire was on each one of them individually, like the little children demonstrated so wonderfully. Whether they liked it or not, they had the fire. They tried to take it off, but the fire was still there. In the Old Testament, we read way back Abraham's days that he would build an altar, and it would be a very simple one, just with some stones. And then God commanded his people to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. And then what God did was he would send fire down upon the sacrifice as a one-off to demonstrate, I'm accepting that offer. Yeah? And then when Solomon built his temple and they made the offering, God did the same thing. Came down with fire, consumed it to say, I am accepting your offer. Mm-hmm. Then on day of Pentecost, the fire came on every member of the body of Christ. God saying, this is now my temple. I am now dwelling inside the believers, and I am showing you, you are accepted. You are accepted. Amen. We are accepted. Praise God. Amen. God now dwells in the believers. That was the fire. Then you got the voice. In the Old Testament, God's voice sounded like a loud trumpet. Yes. Supernatural. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples spoke in languages of every nation present. Acts 2:6. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages spoken by the believers. Now God speaks through the believer.
Amen.
God speaks by the Spirit through every believer. Judgment has been reversed into harvest.
Amen.
Judgment has become harvest because of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, God wrote with his finger on the stone tablets, but now he writes it in our hearts.
Amen.
Let's remind ourselves, Jeremiah 31, 33. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Ezekiel 36, 27. I will put my spirit in you, so that you will follow my decrees, and be careful to obey my regulations. God thundered from the mountains. Now he speaks in our hearts. And we can speak his word out. So God keeps his calendar. It was not a surprise to the Lord. It was a surprise. The people clearly didn't know. They were just following the instructions to wait, and they waited. Waiting on the Lord will always be rewarded. It can be tough, because we don't always understand God's calendar. But he has a calendar. He's got a calendar for us as a body of believers here in Livingston, but he also has a calendar for each of our lives. And God will keep that calendar. Praise God. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why don't we stand to our feet? Father God, thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are here and you are alive and you are now speaking to each one of us. You're speaking through each one of us. Thank you, Father, that we get to live and partner with you in this dispensation of grace, and we get to be part of bringing in the harvest. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. Thank you. Have your full way. Amen. Amen.